This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We welcome Anthony Slater onto the program. Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky. I say good morning to you, Anthony. Let's bring it right where we just heard from that draw. I don't think you heard it. I don't think you're online yet, but we just played that little back and forth that you had in regards to one Dylan Brooks. What did you make of that entire saga of the Dylan Brooks, the tech, Steph pointing up the two, him and Jimmy going at it? What did you make of that entire scenario when it came to Dylan Brooks and the Golden State Warriors?
It's good. It's fun. It's theater. It's spice. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's been a really good playoffs in general. And that type of stuff adds layers to these series. And I like, you know, Draymond is the villain to people who are rooting against the Warriors, and Dylan Brooks, I would say, is the villain to the people who are rooting for the Warriors. And I think good stories need that type of stuff. I think Dylan Brooks actually played well in this series.
I think so too.
Yeah, so I like it. You know, I like, and it just it adds energy in the arena, right? I mean, so I'm a fan of that type of stuff.
No, I would agree, but I think we're like, I want these guys to not like each other because it does make better theater. I think where I throw my hands up is the officiating and the adjudication on what's going down on these things. They're all over the place. Like, Ime Udoka is stomping all over the court, always in the mix, never seems to get a technical or being told, hey, stay on the bench. And, like, in that particular one where Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks kind of get in, that's like the one time Dre was actually separating and de-escalating the situation. And somehow, some way, the Rockets are the ones that end up with two free throws. I've thrown my hands up on some of the officiating.
You know what, though? You sound like, when I talk to a lot of people with other teams, they say that about Draymond, right? He's stomping around. He's never being called for technical.
Yeah, but he's a player. There's a difference to me with a player and a coach who's consistently a foot away from the action on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's Ime Udoka's role on the Rockets in a weird way, you know? He is their, you know, enforcer in from an emotional sense. So I don't, you know, I'm fine with it all, really. But like, that's just how I am. But you know, I understand, like, the officials certainly weren't perfect the other night, but I think a lot of the blame for some of the spice can be on the combatants on the court, number one. And number two, like, I think they did a good job keeping everybody eligible, particularly Draymond. I thought it was a creative workaround to keep Draymond in the game the other day.
I 100% agree. In fact, I'm considering what the situations were. I was surprised that he was in the game. But I also thought the Warriors did a really good job kind of just navigating the non-Draymond minutes until he was available late in it. If he were to get in foul trouble again, what do you think they do against Şengün? Because he had his way in that second half, and they won that game. But had they not got that final stop, I think we would be having a lot of different discussions about how to slow down Şengün. What would be the recipe if Draymond were in foul trouble again?
Man, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I think you'd want Looney out there. He would profile as like the best, you know, backup defender for Şengün, but he has not had a very good series. They tried Trace Jackson Davis and Quentin Post. Like, to me, like, obviously the Warriors are in control of this series and should win it, but it's not like Houston hasn't imposed some of their will and their style in the series. The fact that the Warriors went to a Trace Jackson Davis, Quentin Post lineup tells you that, like, there's stuff Houston is doing that is really bothering the Warriors. I don't think you'll necessarily see those two together again, but clearly they're searching. I don't, you know, you could try a Kuminga out there, go small. You could try some stuff, but generally the answer to your question is Draymond better avoid foul trouble and better avoid technical trouble.
What did you make, Anthony, as we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, Spadoni and Shasky, Slater covering the Warriors, best in the business when it comes to that athletic right here, 95% of the game. What did you make of the starting lineup, putting in Hield and putting Moody to the bench? And obviously, I expect him to go back to that same one today. And is that something we can expect going forward, the same lineup?
No, I mean, that's matchup based. You know, I had been hearing it for a couple games behind the scenes that, you know, one of the issues Houston was creating is they were putting Sengun on Moses Moody. And it was, you know, kind of jumbling up the matchups in a way they didn't like. It allowed them to put Van Vliet on Draymond. And, you know, it was tough to get Sengun in the action, right? And that's what they want. But putting Buddy Hield on the floor, Houston is much more, you know, hesitant to put Sengun on Buddy Hield because Buddy Hield's a movement shooter. You don't want Sengun chasing him around pin downs and, you know, various actions. He's just a different type of player. It's like Sengun guarding like a Klay Thompson. So that is just, they just think it sets up the matchups well in this particular series. Obviously, Buddy Hield's playing well. But, you know, if we're talking about game one against the Minnesota Timberwolves, I don't necessarily expect Buddy Hield to be in the starting lineup. It is about the Houston series.
I really like that point you made about the Buddy's movement versus like Moody, because Moody has been kind of relegated to a short corner three guy, staying there. Occasionally he'll cut to the basket without the ball. It's funny how these series work out. You know, from game to game, things are very different, but it does feel like right now Moody's kind of getting odd man out treatment, and I'm not necessarily angry at it.
Yeah, no, I mean, he hasn't shot it particularly well. I mean, he's still in the rotation, but it's, yeah, I mean, what did Buddy Hield play? I know he played 29 minutes, two in game three. I don't know what he played last game, but it was a lot. It's series to series. You know, Minnesota or the Lakers theoretically will create different issues and probably, you know, bring different players to the stage in a sense.
You know, the other thing that I'm recognizing is that, you know, with Jimmy Butler, we made so many comments just as a media fan base. Oh, what's it going to do for Steph? What's it going to do for Draymond? You know, what's it going to do for this guy? And who are the guys you play around him? And one of the guys that I did not see having better looks on the floor and being able to work alongside Jimmy is Brandon Podziemski. Mm. I feel like he gets a lot better looks, a lot better open one-on-ones. His relocate over the last week or two has been a lot better. Obviously, the game where he wasn't feeling well, we'll throw that out. But I really like the tandem of Podziemski and Jimmy Butler, and it feels like they're playing overlapping minutes when Curry's not on the floor.
Yeah, it was a little bit unforeseen. I would say a couple things. Number one, Podziemski like had turned his season around prior to Jimmy. Like Jimmy got here at a good time where he was already really in rhythm and had turned it around probably for like 3-4 weeks before that. His shot had he'd rediscovered it, and I mean he talked. I sat down with him. I remember in Charlotte this year. And he really talked about him allowing his three-point shot to just like, you know, in some ways crumble the rest of his game in the first month and 2 months. He was just thinking so much about that. We know the expectations he had of himself going into the season. He didn't play that well in training camp. De'Anthony Melton kind of took the starting spot he thought was his. And you know, he is a different version of himself mid-season and beyond. And then you add Jimmy into the mix. It slots him down in the pecking order offensively where he should be at this stage of his career. And, it allows him to play the off-ball creator where he can kind of like, he's really good at they call him go and catches where he's running into the catch and he's on the move. And he can kind of play make off that where he's, you know, the defense is still rotating back over to him. And he has kind of like a zippy way that he's playing. And I think it's helping. And Jimmy's a really good passer, right? I mean, it's probably one of the things that was under discussed, upon his arrival was like the playmaking that he's providing that, an Andrew Wiggins or others on this roster didn't. And I think that helps Podziemski.
Absolutely. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, Anthony, his status, obviously this is just a pain tolerance thing at this point, but he was grimacing exponentially late in that game. He just kept seeing and seeing it, which made his performance even that much more impressive. But his status heading into tonight in regards to the injury, I said probable, right? That was yesterday. Probable to play tonight, right?
Yeah, probable. You know, they list it because, you know, if theoretically they got to a point that they had to rule him out. You want to at least notify it on the injury report. But yeah, no, he's going to play now. You know, how limited will we be? We'll see. He agreed with Steve Kerr's estimation that he'd probably miss a week or two if this was the regular season. I had a fun conversation with him, at his locker after the game, wrote about it in The Athletic, but he was number one. He was talking about how much it hurt, and it isn't just pain tolerance. Where he landed really more on the left side, and he can't like when he's running, it's difficult for him to lift his left leg up in like his normal stride. And he pointed me to the play that he chased down Dylan Brooks and fouled him in transition, which actually was a big play. Dylan Brooks ends up missing both free throws. But he's like, watch me run on that play. And if you guys go back and watch, I mean, he's scooting. You can tell he can't lift his left leg fully. So I think it loosened up in the fourth. He would say it did. And he just has his style, too. It's why he's aging so well, is he just has this, like, and somewhat ground-bound style that isn't reliant on athleticism. It's tricky. It's powerful. He has a high pain tolerance. He gets to the line and gets points there. So he can be effective, even though, yes, he is, like, not feeling 100% himself.
Talking about Stephen Curry on the opposite end there, not his greatest shooting night, was getting hounded defensively. Anything there with that thumb still, Anthony, that's bothering him? He's not going to use it as an excuse, but are you noticing anything? Or was that just, you know, credit to Houston, their defense, and that was just an off shooting night for Steph?
Yeah, I mean, it's off shooting night. I mean, he's not just going to be, you know, his best self at all times. I would say also, it does seem like the trend lines lately have been like he really, you know, throttles up in a game. And what did he play, 40 minutes in game three? No Jimmy. Like, you know, that was just like high usage, high energy, you know, that he had to use. And not that guarantees he's going to have like a low efficiency game the next game, but it seems like it's kind of a trend up, trend down type situation. It was the first game of the series where there was only one off day in between. It's what we're talking about right now, you know, Steph's stamina at age 37 and Jimmy's, you know, situation right now with the tailbone. It would be the best argument for why they need to try to get this done tonight.
Absolutely.
Right. And get 4 or 5 days before, you know, the next series.
So to clarify, let's say hypothetically Warriors win tonight and the T-Wolves win tonight. The game would be what day?
Yeah, it's not like the NBA hasn't confirmed anything. My educated guess would probably be Sunday afternoon, ABC. That'll depend on the other series around, right?
Yeah.
Are there other game sevens? You know, but it's TV, right? TV rules in this world, and they want weekend games, and they want Saturday night ABC games and Sunday afternoon ABC games. And to me, a game one in Minnesota on like a Sunday afternoon, you play like a Sunday, Tuesday, and then have a big break, and then maybe play that next Saturday game three in Chase Center. Like, that's what my guess
is. Okay, so that would give them 3 days rest, right? The Warriors, they would have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you play Sunday. If the Lakers win, what are you thinking? Monday, Tuesday start to that series? This is all incumbent on the Warriors winning tonight, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Yeah.
But I think the point you're making about injuries and rest, it's also there for game planning and adjusting and having a walkthrough practice and being able to implement that stuff. So let's say the Lakers win tonight and that goes to a game seven. What do you think, Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, well, so the Lakers winning tonight would send it to a game six, either team winning tonight, right? If Houston wins tonight, game sixes of these series, I believe, would be Friday, both of them. And if the Warriors close, the Lakers win, I don't think the league would like, let's say Minnesota then wins game six Friday night.
Okay.
In Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't think it's impossible that they would try to flip it around and have Minnesota play a game one at home Sunday still.
Wow.
Although that feels like a quick turnaround. Then, you know, maybe you were talking Monday, Tuesday. Again, that might depend on, is there a Knicks-Pistons game seven to feature? Is there a Knicks Celtics game one to feature potentially on a Sunday? You know, again, like, the league wants their showcase times to have showcase matchups. I would say probably if Minnesota series extends and Warrior series ends tonight, you're probably talking early next week.
That would be great for them. I think that's why they need to handle business tonight too. And the other element, which we have yet to discuss it, and look, we love the physical play, but there is a realistic component of flagrant accumulation for Draymond Green. For those that are just tuning in right now, maybe they're wondering, I mean, how many more does he got? What are the rules on the flagrant situation for Draymond Green? And is the team worried at all about him getting a silly flagrant in a closeout game tonight or having to play a game six or game seven?
Yeah, I mean, as far as just like the straight up rules are, so 4 points, 4 flagrant points is a one game suspension. And if we are to go back in history, he got the suspension in game five of the finals because he had the flagrant in the first round against Houston with Beasley. Remember
that?
Yeah,
he DDT'd Michael Beasley when the game was already over.
DDT.
Yeah. And that was first point. And then he got an upgraded flagrant two for the kick to Steven Adams, which was, you know, a flagrant two is 2 points. So he was at three, and then they gave him the fourth point for the LeBron thing. So to answer your question, I mean, he's at one. Surely they don't want him to get a second. And, you know, I should say technicals, by the way, seven before you get the suspension in the playoffs. But they also, like, they have long accepted the reality that they just need to let Draymond Green mostly be Draymond Green. I mean, obviously, he knows there's a line. He's tried to stay. He tries to go as close to it without going over it. And, you know, look, they need him to just be ferocious guarding Alper and Sengun tonight to get them to the next round. They can't also tell him, hey, like, by all circumstances, you need to avoid a flagrant, because he's probably going to commit a hard foul or two, and then it's at the discretion of the officials. I will say, probably a good official tonight for those type of situations. You're getting Zach Zarba as the crew chief, first time in these playoffs for the Warriors. So he's typically has feel, as they like to say about officials.
I love that Jimmy Butler gave that. Like, they were turning the ball over left and right, and then Jimmy gave that hard foul to Dylan Brooks, which was a rake across the arm. But it was refreshing that it was someone other than Draymond to actually, you know, give somebody one. You know, it was.
Yeah.
What's that?
Rewatch the play. That's the one I'm talking about, where he's just limping back.
Yeah.
Like a really nice hustle play. And Dylan Brooks missed both free throws. And you know the interesting thing about Jimmy? Somebody pointed it out to me the other day in, like, kind of his circle. He is, like, extremely polite with officials. You never see him say anything to officials. And I don't know if it helps in a situation like that where they didn't even go review it. Dylan Brooks didn't even get up to say anything. Like, it was just viewed as, Jimmy Butler committed a hard foul. Like, go to the line for two. And I think part of that is, like, have you seen since Jimmy Butler's been on the Warriors him even, like, talk to an official?
No. Not once.
No, he doesn't do that. No, it's a great point. Anthony Slater joining us here on the River Islands guest line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And Anthony, speaking of Dylan Brooks, it's interesting because you brought up that foul. I think of the one that Gary Payton, like, ran into him, right? He's like, just ran his shoulder right into him. He's like, all right, yeah, whatever. Early on in this series. Of the two series, because I know you're locked in on this one between the Rockets Warriors, but you watch all the NBA. Of the two series right now between the Rockets and Warriors and the Lakers, T-Wolves, which team do you think has a better chance to extend it potentially to a seventh game? Rockets or the Lakers?
Seventh game, I would probably say Lakers. And even sixth game, I don't know. You know, Lakers at home tonight. You know, Lakers got LeBron and Luka. You know, both of, you know, the Rockets, this is a really close series too. Like, they easily, they probably should have won game four. So I think both is not out of the question, but I just think Houston's lack of just half court scoring punch. I just don't think they're going to take it to seven. That would just be my prediction, just because I haven't seen enough from them offensively in this series.
Hey, Anthony, good stuff, man. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight out in Houston, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas.
There he goes. That's Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. If you missed any of that interview, find it on the free Odyssey app or on YouTube, where we are streaming.